You have your Bibles with you tonight. Preachers ought to have their Bibles with them. Amen. We'll take a text. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And notice the 23rd verse. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 23. Paul, of course, here is writing to the church at Thessalonica. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. We've selected by the direction of the Holy Ghost for this particular minister's conference a study on spiritology. Number one, locating the human spirit. Secondly, training, developing, educating the human spirit. And third, how to be led through your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Word of God tells us that man is on three dimensions. This verse of Scripture substantiates that. The threefold nature of man: spirit, soul, and body. Notice how Paul said, "I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body." I don't know whether you notice or not, but for a good many years, I've studied this subject, and I've noticed the way people will say it. Even some publications I know don't quote the Scripture correctly. They'll put the body first. Body, soul, and spirit. No, it's spirit, soul, and body. Now, the reason they do is because they're more body conscious than they are spirit conscious. We need to put first things first. Amen? And so, this is one subject I think that I've sought more earnestly than any other, or as much as any other subject in the Bible, in these 60 some odd years of ministry. It's easy, I know that, to distinguish, of course, between the body and the other two, soul and spirit, but it's more difficult sometimes to distinguish between the spirit and the soul. And nothing really can do that for you except the Bible. Much error has been taught, even from our pulpits, because so many have thought that the spirit and the soul is the same. Someone asked, and I'll not name any names here, but outstanding ministers, and I listened closely. I wanted to see what they said. What's the difference between soul and spirit? And this, I would say, number one evangelist of the world said, "I thought they're the same." I asked pastors back in the 50s, 40 years ago, all over the United States. I asked pastors of various churches, of various denominations, "What's the difference between soul and spirit?" 99 times out of 100, they said to me, "I thought they was the same." I said, "No, they couldn't be the same because they can be divided." You know, the Word of God says in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." Amen. A lot of times folks will say, "Well, you know, we had so many souls saved last night." And really, they didn't. They had some spirits that were born again. Amen. Now, if they were the same, they couldn't be divided. If they were the same, Paul would not have said, "I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, he would have just said, "I pray God your spirit and body," or "your soul and body," if they're the same. But no, there's three: spirit, soul, and body. Now, it would be just as scriptural to say that the body and the soul are one as it would to say that the spirit and soul are one or the same. These three, spirit, soul, and body, are the three distinct parts of man. Amen. Now, the physical world contacts, or the physical man, body, contacts the physical world. We know that. It deals with the physical realm. The spirit of man contacts God, for God is a spirit, the Bible says. Only a spirit could contact a spirit. The new birth is a rebirth of the human spirit. You remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, the 7th verse, ye must be born again. Now Nicodemus, being natural, could only think naturally. So he said, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the 2nd time into his mother's womb and be born? See, all he could think of is the natural birth. You must be born again. But Jesus answered him by saying, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Hallelujah. Now let's see what Paul said on this subject. You have your Bibles there. Look in Romans, the 2nd chapter. If you don't have time to follow me, we'll write them down. You can look them up later. Let's see what Paul had to say about it. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Last 2 verses here of the chapter. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Now notice this next verse. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. Now notice that. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. And not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Paul is saying here that the spirit is the heart. Notice what he said. Circumcision is not of the heart, is of that of the heart in the spirit. Now then, notice something else that would help us, particularly full gospel, Pentecostal people, to understand and to see clearly, to differentiate, to locate the human spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14th verse, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Hallelujah. Now the Amplified translation reads, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. Well then, you know when you speak with tongues where it comes from. Out of your innermost being, which is your spirit. Amen? That should help you. Praying in tongues would help you to become more spirit conscious and to contact God, who is a spirit. Now notice that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Now I want you to notice these terms that he used. My spirit. If I pray with an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Then notice he said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Notice he said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Notice then that he uses the term my spirit and I as the same. In other words, they're interchangeable. Now, as we've said, with the body, we contact the physical world. But with the spirit, we contact the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. God is a spirit. Now notice the 2nd verse of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Well, who's he talking to? But unto God. Well, God is a spirit. My spirit's in direct contact with the Father of spirits. Paul calls God the Father of spirits in another place. Amen? Well, now since the body deals with the physical realm. The spirit deals with the spiritual realm. Then there's only one other realm that we're involved in, and that's the mental realm. So the soul, with the soul, we contact the intellectual. With the body, we contact the physical realm. With the spirit, we contact the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. So let's begin to think of ourselves not as being physical beings, though we do have a physical body or live in a physical body. Think of ourselves as being a spirit being, not just physical. Say it out loud. I am a spirit being. I have a soul. I live in a physical body. Hallelujah. Now think of yourself as a spirit being possessing a soul and living in a physical body. That will help you to become more conscious of spiritual things and more conscious of your spirit. Amen. Now then, let's take up first, let's discuss all three of these, spirit, soul, and body, before we get further into our lesson. But let's take up first the first dimension of man, which is the spirit. Man is a spirit who possesses a soul and lives in a body. Man's spirit is the part of him that knows God. Have you ever contacted God with your body? Do you ever walk up to God and shake hands with him like we do one another? No, because he's not a man. Did you ever contact God with your mind? No, he's not a mind. I don't care what the mind, science, religion said. He's not a mind. He's a spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, man, now before he sinned and fell, you understand, was in the same class with God. Because God is a spirit, and God made man so he could fellowship with him. Amen. He made man for his own pleasure. Man is not an animal. In order to fellowship with God, man must be in the same category with God. He must be a spirit. Just as God is spirit, so man is a spirit being. Did you ever try to fellowship with an old cow? The physical? No. But thank God, hallelujah, we can fellowship with him. Jesus said in John's Gospel, the 4th chapter, the 24th verse, speaking to the woman at the well of Samaria, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, we cannot know God or touch God physically. He's not a man. He's a spirit. We cannot communicate with God mentally. That's what a lot of folks try to do. For he is a spirit. But thank God we can reach him with our spirits. Amen. And know God with our spirits. Now then, God, who is a spirit, Jesus said there in John's Gospel, God is a spirit. God, who is a spirit, took upon himself a man's body. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, wasn't he? Now look at John's Gospel again, the very first chapter. Let's get the connection here. Very first chapter, first through the third verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now notice, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now notice the 14th verse of this same opening. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now then, God then took upon himself a human body in the person of Jesus. And when he took upon himself the form of flesh, he was no less God than he was when he didn't have a body. Man, we know this, at physical death, leaves his body. Yet he's no less man than he was when he had his body. Now we see that in the account of Lazarus and the rich man. Jesus told us in Luke the 16th chapter, there was a certain rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There's a certain beggar named Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from his table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. And the beggars died, and the angels, now angels are spirits. Notice, angels carried him away, not his body. Men took his body and maybe buried him in a pauper's graveyard, I don't know. But angels carried him away. Angels are spirits. They carried him, who is a spirit being, away. Amen, to Abraham's bosom. Now the rich man died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom, and you know the story. The thought I wanted to get over to you is that neither one of them was any less man than they were when they were in their body. Now some folks said, well, yeah, but now that's a parable. Well, first of all, no one but some unlearned person would say that. For in a parable, you couldn't use the word certain. You notice he said there was a certain, in a parable, Jesus said, so-and-so's likened unto so-and-so. So-and-so's likened unto so-and-so. But besides that, if that's all the scripture that we had, we might question it a little bit. But you see, there are other scriptures that'll back up what we're saying. Amen. For instance, notice in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians rather, the fifth chapter. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. Now notice, back up a little bit. You know, Paul did not write a letter to the Corinthians in chapter and verses. You ever write a letter to anybody in chapter and verses? No. Man divided it in chapter and verses for reference sake. So when you get over to the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, he's continuing what he was talking about in the fourth chapter. Now in the fourth chapter, the 16th verse, he said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, or the margin says, is decaying, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Now you see again here he talks about an outward man and an inward man. And in 2 Corinthians 5:1 he continues to talk about the two men, outward and inward. For we know that if our tabernacle, hallelujah, if it's dissolved, well that's talking about the body. If it dies, you put it in the grave, goes back to dust, we still have a building. Glory to God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now skip down to the 6th, 7th, and 8th verses of that same opening, the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and notice what he said. Amen. We are confident, he said, knowing that while we, everybody say we, while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Then the body is the home that we live in. Amen. The house. Now notice the next verse. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Now we take that verse out of its setting a lot of time and apply it into different areas. And it's so to a certain extent. But really, when he said we walk by faith and not by sight, he was talking about what he's talking about here. I'm talking about dying, talking about the inward man and the outward man, talking about being absent from the Lord and being present with the Lord. Amen. So then he said in the sixth verse, we're confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, eighth verse. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, therefore, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, see, I said all that to you to let you know that the spirit man, praise God, can live and does live apart from the body. Now, Paul made a tremendous statement. You remember in 2 Corinthians again, the 12th chapter? The first and second verses, he said, for I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Now all Bible scholars agree that Paul was talking about his own experience. Notice that he said he must have been, because he said, I couldn't tell whether it's in the body or out of the body. I can tell that you're in the body, because when you're out of the body, we'll have your body down here in the coffin. And we walk by and look at it, well, we can tell you're out of the body. Paul said, I couldn't tell. Amen? I said, amen? He said, I couldn't tell. See, now we can tell. We folks that are left here, we can tell it. But I couldn't tell whether it's in the body or out of the body. God knoweth. And I knew such a man. Such as one, he said, caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. You can't tell. I know, because I've been out of my body more than once, and I couldn't tell. When I was born again, April 1933, I left my body three times and went down to hell. I couldn't tell. I had all that seemed to me like just as much as it did when I was in the body. But I know exactly when I came up out of hell and was born again and then got back inside my body. Then later on, after being born again, my heart stopped. And this time, instead of going down, I went up. The whole room lit up with the glory of God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I mean, whiter, brighter than the sun, more dazzling than the sun shining on snow. Whole room lit up. Psalmist of old said, thou guide me with thine eye, and afterwards receive me to glory. That's a manifestation of the glory of God. You see it manifested all through the Old Testament. His brightness and so on. And the whole room lit up. And I left my body and went up into that glory. A few moments before, you're just fighting with everything you had, trying to stay here. Body don't want to die. God didn't make us for death. Death's an enemy. And so your body's fighting with everything, holding on to the bedpost. But soon as death comes, I'm talking about to a Christian, there's a tranquility. There's a peace. There's something you can't describe. I can understand part of what Paul said when he's caught up into paradise and heard words unspeakable, or which is not lawful, another translation said, for man to utter. But you can't describe it. You just can't describe it. You know, some folks said, well, let's pray that they'll be raised from the dead. No, they'd tell you, don't you do it, don't you do it, don't you do it. I remember I got up about where the roof of the house was. And I heard a voice. Now, I'm still in the glory. But I heard a voice. A man's voice. I believe it was Jesus, though I didn't see him. He said, go back. Go back to the earth. I said, I don't want to go back. He said, you'll have to go back. I said, I don't want to go back. He said, you'll have to go back. Your work on earth's not done. I descended into that room. I saw my body lying there, you know, fasting, snap your finger, lying there on the bed. I saw my mama stooped over me, holding my hand in hers. I seemed to leap from the foot of the bed inside my body through my mouth, like a man would slip his foot inside of his boot in the morning time. And I said to mama, I'm not going to die now. She thought I meant I'm not going to die now this minute. I meant, no, I'm not going to die now. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. Praise God and do the work of God. do what he called me to do. Hallelujah. But I said all that to you, locating the spirit, locating this inward man, which is the spirit man. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now then, when you're born again, that inward man becomes a new man. Here in this fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said in the 17th verse, therefore, if any man, now he's not talking about the outward man, he's talking about the inward man. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Now, as I said, many times the word heart and spirit are used interchangeably in the scriptures. Now, some folks think the heart is separate, but it can't be, for if it was, then man would be a four-part being. The Bible said he's only a three-part. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, if there's another part of man called heart, then he wouldn't be a three-part, he'd be a four-part, wouldn't he? I said, wouldn't he? The heart is spoken of, but the heart has to be, well, Paul said there in Romans 2, it's spirit. But the heart has to be the spirit, because the heart's not the body, you know that. And the heart's not the soul, you know that. So the heart would automatically have to be the spirit. Because the word heart is used in the Bible just like we use it. We talk about the heart of a subject. Now, what do we mean? We mean the most important part of that particular subject, the heart of it. We talk about the heart of a tree. What do we mean? Well, we mean the center. Amen? The heart, the center of his being. What is the center of man's being? His spirit. Spirit. He is his spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God. So it's safe to say, scripturally speaking, that your heart is your spirit. Now, when the Word of God speaks about the heart of man, he's speaking of the spirit of man. Now, notice, again, our text, the verse, 1 Corinthians 5:23, Paul doesn't say, I pray God your whole heart, soul, and body. No, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. Now Peter, notice now 1 Peter the 3rd chapter in the 4th verse, Peter talks about the hidden man of the heart. That's what he calls it. Paul called him inner man or innermost man. The Bible calls it innermost being. You remember in the 7th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus, 37th through 39th verse, at the last day of the feast, stood and cried and said, whoever one is athirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, out, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe upon him should receive, for as yet the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, was not given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now notice what he said. Out of his belly, out of man's belly. Well, another translator said, his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Well, go back to the verses again that we quoted. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. So innermost being, belly, and spirit are synonymous terms, talking about the same thing. Amen. Now then, Paul called him, as I said, Paul called him inner, Paul called him hidden, or Paul called him the inner man, or as the scripture said, the innermost being. But now, referring to man's spirit, Peter said in 1 Peter 3:4, uses the term hidden man of the heart. Now he's telling, really he's writing to Christian women here, telling them not to be merely concerned with the outward man. Notice he said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Well, that hidden man of the heart, or that inward man as Paul calls him, or is really the spirit man. Now, while we're on it, we might as well look at it a little here in this 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. I just read that 4th verse. But if you look at the previous verses, 3 verses, Paul writing to Christian women, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the flesh, such as, and he mentions putting on of apparel, wearing of gold and pearls and so on. Now some folks, you see, without stopping and thinking, bless their heart, I heard a preacher on the radio. I don't know what he said before because I just barely tuned in on him, you see. And suddenly he got my attention. He said women should not go to beauty shops and have their curly hair and have it fixed. He said in Bible days the way they did was plaiting of hair. And Peter said here, you know, they shouldn't plait their hair. And then that they shouldn't wear gold, shouldn't wear any gold rings or any gold. And he went on. I said, wonder why you don't read the rest of that verse. The rest of the verse said putting on of apparel. Well, apparel is clothes, isn't it? Well, you know he didn't tell him not to wear any clothes. Well, if he didn't tell him not to wear any clothes, then he didn't tell him not to wear any gold. And if he didn't tell him not to wear any clothes, he didn't tell him not to fix their hair. Dear Lord, some of these folks need something, you know that. I was a young Baptist boy preacher back in the late 30s. Well, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1937. 1939, accepted the pastor of a little Full Gospel Pentecostal church in the Black Land of North Central Texas. One of my deacons said to him, Brother Hagin, why don't you ever preach on women's dress? I said, Dear Lord, don't know how hardly how to dress myself, much less try to tell the women how to dress. Another one of my deacons, because I never preached about those things, I preached the Bible. And and another one of my deacons said, why don't you ever preach? Now, this will date you. We see the late 30s. They called them beauty parlors, you know, in those days. Now, see, Doc's old enough, 75 years old, you know. He, you can't remember that, some of you, but this will date you. So, why don't you preach against beauty parlors? I said, Dear Lord, I'm not going to preach against anything that's doing good. I said, some of these women need something, I'll tell you that. Amen. No. He didn't tell them not to plait their hair or fix their hair. He didn't tell them not to wear gold. He didn't tell them not to wear apparel or clothes. All he's saying is, don't spend all your time on the outward man. See to it that the inward man is adorned with a quiet and a meek spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So Peter here referred to the hidden man of the heart. That's the inward man. Man's spirit, or the inward man. Like I said, Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 4:16, though the outward man perisheth, or is decaying. Now we may like it or may not like it, but the outward man is decaying. Some of you have lost all your hair. I've lost a good bit of mine. Some of your hair has turned gray and white. You got wrinkles in your face. The outward man is decaying. Now, thank God, one of these days we'll have a new body. Won't that be good? And won't that be great? No, the outward man is decaying. But the inward man, what about this inward man, this spirit man, is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. This outward man is decaying. Just like the house, the physical, you know, house you live in on such and such a street. It needs constant upkeep and repairs. You'll find this man, amen, does the same. Hallelujah, but thank God we've got a way to do it. Jesus himself provided healing for us. And though healing's for us, it does not stop the aging process. He didn't promise us we wouldn't die. The number of thy days I shall fulfill. Amen. With long life will I satisfy him. So if you're satisfied, go on home. If you're not satisfied, hang around here a while longer. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
But like I said, this outward man needs more attention than he did when he was younger. Man, you could get ready, take a shower, shave, comb your hair. I mean, in a whisk. It takes me about an hour or two today. It takes my wife longer than that. You just automatically slow down. Amen. You don't have the reflexes you have. Let's see you run like you did when you was younger. We notice, you know, in the world of sports, somebody talking about some of the athletes said they lost their legs. Well, I don't mean their legs fell off. That means they can't run like they could last year. They have to make some of them in baseball a designated hitter. He can still hit the ball, that's about all he can do. If you don't get ample exercise, this outward man will decay faster than he would otherwise. I remember way back in the 50s, 1955, we went up to Old Oak Ranch up in the Sierra Nevada mountains back up above Sonora, California. Foursquare folks preach youth camps. See, you got to remember, I was 40 years ago, I'm still in my 30s. And so I preached there. We was up there about 5 weeks altogether. Well, we had they had these different, actually reading as that's along, they couldn't bring all the youth in at once. So about half from that particular district, the Western District, Northern California, Nevada, from the Foursquare Church, they brought their youth groups in from about half of the district. And then the second part of it, they brought them in, the other half in. Well, these churches, many of them had a church team in softball. And the Foursquare Church from Eureka, California, had the championship team of their city. They were all there. Well, they played the faculty. I pitched. We beat them. 1-0. 1-0. We went up there the next year to preach the same camps. And I'm a year older. And really, I didn't continue to exercise like I should. I can't pitch. In fact, I played right field. Because there's a gully back down there. See, and it's short. Because I couldn't run ball down. If it goes in, that's automatic double. See. So I didn't have much ground to cover. I'd get up and hit a ball. I could still hit. My wife would say, "Honey, last year you hit a ball like that and made a home run. This year they like to throw you out at second base." I said, "Yeah, I told my legs to go, but they wouldn't go." She said, "You run like you had rubber legs." I said, "They feel that way." The outward man's decaying. He decays a little faster. If we don't take care of it, just like your house, you don't take care of it, it'll decay and deteriorate a whole lot faster. You got to keep it up. Amen?
Amen.
Well, say amen if you can.
Amen.
If you can't, say oh me. It's all so anyway. Amen. Amen. Outward man is decaying. Now, the outward man is the body. But thank God, the real you. Say the real me. See, that inward man's the real you. That's the real me. Is renewed day by day. I'll never be any older than I am now. Hallelujah. I'm no older today than I was 15 years ago. Now you understand I'm talking about the real me. Amen. I'm no older today than I was 25 years ago. Amen. Now my hair may become grayer and thinner, and I may have a few more wrinkles, and I may be able to run like I could or like I did, but thank God this inward man never grows old. Now we used to sing a song, "In a land where I'll never grow old." We were interpreting that physically, but thank God I'll never grow old in this land. And you'll never grow. You'll never be any older in spirit than you are right now. You know, God's a spirit being. How old's he? You suppose he's growed a long white whisker and about to cave in? No, he's no older than he was several thousand years ago. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So this inward man is renewed day by day. Now there's a verse here again in 2 Corinthians. Down here at the end of that fourth chapter, he talked about in the 16th verse, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes or is decaying, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now he goes on, see, that's the 16th verse, but he goes on to the 17th and 18th verses, we're saying, "For the light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now look at the 18th verse. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now see, you may be going through a test or through a trial of some kind. Life makes life miserable for you from the natural standpoint. But just remember that the scripture said it's just for a moment. Hallelujah. It's just for a moment. Amen. "For we look forward," you see, "to something far more wonderful, which will last, not for a moment, but for an eternity. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." The outward man is looking at the things that are seen. And the outward man is one of those seen things, so to speak. But the inward man is that hidden man, inner man, innermost man. You know the reason that most people are defeated in life? Because they're looking at wrong things. All they ever see is the physical. All they ever see is the natural. But we look not at the things which are seen. We look at the things which are not seen. Which are, for the things which are seen are temporal, or temporary, in other words. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now that's the reason the Smith Wigglesworth said, "I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe." Hallelujah. Now the only way that we can look at the unseen is by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So then, now that was the end of that fourth chapter, but we've already looked into the fifth chapter, so when he goes into this fifth chapter, he's still talking about the same thing. He's referring to the spirit of man that departs to be with Christ, as Paul said, which is far better. He's talking about the inward man. He's talking about that which is eternal. Amen. Hallelujah. I like something Paul says here. Let's look at it again briefly. We looked at it in that those 6th, 7th, and 8th verses of 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. "Therefore, we're always confident." 6th verse. 8th verse. "We are confident." Now, that's positive, isn't it? No. Theory about that. No doubt about that. We are always confident. About what, Paul? Knowing. Guessing? No, not guessing. Maybe? No, not maybe. Well, that's the way I got it figured out. No. We're confident knowing. Knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. 8th verse. We're confident. There it is again. We're confident. We're confident. I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. We're always confident. We are confident. So Paul is talking about the inward man. He's talking about the confidence that we have about this inward man, that now while we're at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. But we're confident and willing rather, therefore, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. Now, it's very interesting, the very next verse there. Look at that ninth verse, that fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Very interesting. Notice something that Paul says here. After he said, we're confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Now notice, wherefore, look at that ninth verse, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now I want you to notice, we labor that whether present or absent, we'll be accepted of him. Thank God we will, when we walk in the light of the word. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, if I were to ask you the question, you see, in the light of what we're saying, not from the natural. How many of you are present? Everybody lift your hand that's present. Well, they all lift your hand. No, the Bible says you're absent. But we look at somebody that's dead. We look at the body. We look into the casket. Say, are they present? Yeah. Yeah, they're present. Hallelujah. But not here in this natural realm. They're present with God. They're present with Christ. They're in his presence. Hallelujah. Now I said all that to you just simply to help us to locate the human spirit. To help us to see the difference between the outward man and the inward man. The outward man's an earthly man. The inward man's a spirit man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I think while we're at it, we'll just go ahead before we get back into discussing training, developing, educating our spirits and how to do that. Let's go ahead and talk some about the soul and even some about the body. Because he said, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Son of Man. Or the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words. Now, with our bodies, we know this, we contact the physical world. With our spirits, we contact the spirit realm. Now, you see, you have to understand this, that in the realm of evil spirits and spiritism, they contact the spirit world. They don't contact the spirit world with their body. They don't contact the spirit world with their mind. They contact the spirit world with their spirits. Because they're spirit beings also. But thank God we're contacting the Father of spirits. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well then, as I said to you, that only leaves one part of man, because he's only a three-part being, and that's his soul. Well, the soul then, we contact with our soul the intellectual realm. Man, the soul is man's sensibilities. It's a part of man that reasons and thinks. It deals with the mental realm. Now we see in Paul's teaching that we are to do something with our bodies and to do something with our minds. Now notice Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. Wherefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice that Paul goes on to say that we're to do something with our minds. He said, and be not conformed to this world, verse 2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now notice, Paul's writing to born again, spirit-filled people. And yet he's telling them your body and your minds have not been affected by this experience. You need to do something with your body and you need to do something with your mind. You can readily see that when one's born again, it's their spirit that's born again. It's their spirit that becomes a new creature in Christ. God's not going to do anything with your body. You're going to have to do it. And if you don't do it, nothing will be done. Well, one fellow that believed that, you have to sin every day. He just got through committing a terrible thing. A minister. A fellow minister said something to him. Well, he said, I'm so glad that this old sinful body is not going to heaven. But I'll tell you, that old sinful body can keep you from going. Amen. Now notice. Notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, 9th chapter, 27th verse. I keep my body under. I bring it. Now notice he calls his body it. Now we've already established that I is the spirit man. I is that inward man that's been born again. I keep my body under. See, man then has to be more than a physical being. Because if man was just a physical being, Paul would have said, I keep myself under. He didn't say, I keep myself under. He said, I keep my body under. What do you mean, keep it under? I bring it, calls his body it, into subjection. Subjection to what? To the inward man. I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection. Now, why do you do that, Paul? Lest after I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. How many of you want to be a castaway? I don't think anybody does. Well, you can be if you're not careful but not keeping your body under. In other words, you dominate your body doesn't dominate you. I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection. Lest by any means after I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen. Do something with your body. Now what do you do with your body? Present it to God, a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. I like another translation said, which is your spiritual worship. You know, really, to tell you the real truth about it, we know very little about real worship. We think we do a lot of time. But he said, presenting your body to God, a living sacrifice, is a spiritual worship. You're worshiping God when you do that. A lot of folks would like to worship Him every other way except that way. Now notice then, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So he's writing here to believers, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers. He's not writing to the heathen. He's not writing to sinners. He's not writing to the people of the world. He's writing, this is Romans. He's writing, if you look at Romans, the first chapter, about the seventh verse, to all that be in Rome, he addresses this letter, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God and called to be saints. Well, that puts us in on that then. Called to be saints. He's writing to born again, spirit-filled believers. You see, they're Christian experience had not affected their bodies or their minds. He told them that they were needed to do something with their body and that they needed to do something with their mind. God's not going to do anything with either one of them, but He'll help you to do it. Can you say amen? Amen. Sometimes we're waiting for somebody else to do something. Or God. But He's not going to do anything with your mind or with your body. You do it. With your spirit, you contacted the spirit. With our spirits, the inward man, the hidden man of the heart, becomes a new man in Christ. Now it's us to do something with our bodies. It's up to us to do something with our mind. Present your bodies. Amen. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And He wants us not only to be transformed mentally, but to be transformed physically, to change. Amen. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, really, the greatest need. Now, we have all kind of ideas. And people purport or put forth their thinking. It may be some truth to it, may be shallow thinking. But the greatest need of the church today is that God's people renew their minds with the Word of God. Now thank God for spiritual helps. Thank God for those who play instruments in the orchestra in church. Thank God for the singers and the choir and special singing. All that helps. But you can have all that and double up on it and triple up on it and quadruple up on it. We don't get our minds renewed, we're not going to enjoy the blessing, the fullness of God. Amen. See, just because a person is a Christian and even filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that he has a renewed mind. And that doesn't mean because he's born again, become a new creature in Christ, that he's a mature, full-grown Christian. Because he isn't. Notice what Peter says. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Nobody's born a full-grown Christian. They're born a baby Christian. And then they need to grow up. I'm sorry to say they don't always do it. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. One preacher said, this is really a true story, he's holding a meeting in a certain place. Pastor said to him, now brother, because he began to preach the thing, now don't get too deep, said, we're all babies around here. How long have you been pastor? 25 years. Still a baby after 25 years. They couldn't stand anything but a little milk. Well, the time comes that we need to get on something else. Thank God for the milk of the word. Paul said, I fed you with milk. But you ought to be on strong meat or strong food, in other words. He called the church at Corinth, though they had all the gifts of the Spirit operating in their church. Yet he said they were babies, baby Christians. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and said, be no longer children. He's talking about spiritually speaking. God wants us to grow and develop and grow up. As long as people are baby Christians, their bodies will dominate them. Their minds will be unrenewed. Are you listening to me? Amen. Thank God. Thank God for renewed minds. Our minds become renewed how? With the Word of God. That's the reason God put teachers in the church. Those who are really called to teach, not just somebody that wanted to teach. That helps us to renew the mind. Many times, while folks are teaching, natural human knowledge a lot of times will not accept it. But you got to believe God with your heart, God's word with your heart, and get the revelation of it down here on the inside of you. Amen? Now, I know a lot of times, years gone by, I've heard people preach, and my mind wasn't thoroughly renewed with the word, and my natural human thinking wanted to reject it, push it away from me. But something down here on the inside of me was turning flips. My spirit knew it was so. Hallelujah. I'm glad I learned to listen to my spirit. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Praise God for his word. Say it out loud. Thank God,
thank God
for the word of God. So then our minds are renewed by what? By how? Feeding upon God's word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Feeding upon God's word. In our own private studies, our own private meditation, we'll get into some of that later, or being taught by some spirit-anointed teacher. In this way, we can grow in the strength and the knowledge of the word and can walk in the light, and our minds are renewed daily, thank God, with the word of God. Now, I know a lot of times people say, well, now, Brother Hagin, they've said to me, how can I make my belief in God's word more than just mentally agreeing that God's word is so? See, a lot of times folks mentally agree that God's word's so. But you see, that won't get the job done. I've talked to men. I'm thinking right now of one doctor, medical doctor, never been Christian. As I talked to him, he said, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe the Bible so. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. But you see, that's only mentally. Because if he really believed it in his heart, he'd act on it. I tried to get him to accept Jesus. Well, no, I'm not ready to do that right now. See, it's just in his mind. A lot of times, a lot of good people, they're saying, just mentally agree, in other words, that the Word of God's true, that it's so all right, just like this doctor did. But they don't act on it. It's when you act upon God's Word that God's Word becomes real to you. I've had people to come to me after Bible teachings in churches. Brother Hagin, I know the Bible said so-and-so. Begin to quote Scripture to me. And the Bible said so-and-so. Quote another Scripture. And the Bible quoted another Scripture. I know the Bible said it's mine. But what I don't understand is why I don't have it. I said, did you ever act like it's so? Huh? I said, did you ever act like it's yours? What if I, in the natural, were to hand you a set of keys and say to them, there's a brand new car sitting right out there, I'm going to give that to you. You'd never get home, never drive it, unless you acted upon it. Take God's Word and act upon it. You see, mental agreement will just simply say, well, I know God's Word's true, all right. I know God promised me healing. I know God promised me to meet my needs. I know God promised me certain needs. I know I ought to have it, but for some reason or other, I don't get it. But faith says, I have it now. Not because I can see it, not because I feel it. I have it, I possess it, because the Word of God says it.
Amen.
Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Now, in one of my meetings several years ago, a man brought his wife. I learned by talking to them that they belonged to the Methodist Church, but that they were actually born again believers. And they'd heard me teaching on the radio about healing. And his wife was given up to die. He had to carry into the church. Given up to die by medical science. Doctor said, we don't believe she'll live another 6 months. And so, in talking to them, they said, well, we've been praying that if it's God's will to heal it, he'd give us faith so he'd be healed. Well, I couldn't pray because you prayed and it wouldn't get healed and they'd go up and say, it's not the will of God. I said, how are you going to find out whether it's God's will to heal her or not? Well, I thought you'd pray for it. If it's his will, he'd heal her. If it wasn't, he wouldn't. I said, no, she wouldn't get healed and you'd claim she was. It's not the will of God. I said, what if? I knew it did, but I said, what if? The Word of God said that Jesus took your wife's infirmities and bare her sicknesses. Would it be his will to heal her? Well, he said, certainly. I said, why don't we find out what the Word says? Sat down with them, read 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53:4-5. He jumped up and said, we're going to have to throw that part of that prayer away. It is God's will. We don't have to pray if it's God's will. Well, I didn't tell him he's going to have to throw the whole prayer away. He said, all we got to do now is just pray God would give us faith so we could be saved or healed. I said, sit back down. Now, how did you get saved? Well, this Methodist church is right there within a block where they live. The pastor had an Easter revival. They went one night. When he gave the invitation, he said, I said to my wife, I'm going. She said, I'll go with you. He said, we went down and knelt in an altar rail. The pastor knelt with us and led us in prayer. We prayed the sinner's prayer. And we're born again. Fine. I said, I'll accept your testimony. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Now let me ask you this, I said. When you got down there, did you pray, Lord, give us faith so we could be saved? No. I said, why didn't you? Well, I said, the man had just preached, whosoever should call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We knew what the Lord would do before we went down there. Him that cometh unto me, I'll know, according to all these scriptures. I said, well, if you did not pray God give you faith to be saved, if you know that himself took your infirmities and bare your sickness, why would you have to pray God give you faith to be healed? He jumped up and said, we're going to have to throw that whole prayer away. I said, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now we can pray. Well, I just laid my hand. You know, sometimes you're anointed, sometimes you ain't. Amen. I never felt a thing. I'll tell you, I never felt so dry in my life. So dead. But I just laid hands on a hand on a woman's head and prayed. Said, amen. And I said to her, sister, are you healed? She said, yes. I said, how do you know you are? She said, because the word said, himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. I said, that's it. You've got it. Amen. Shook hands with him and left. Turned back and looked. She can't get up. He picked her up in his arms like a little child and carried her out of the building. Somebody said, well, you can see that she wasn't healed. Yeah, but we're not walking beside. Amen. Two nights later, they came back perfectly well. Perfectly well. Every symptom had disappeared. I talked to him on the phone 19 years later and he's still healed. Praise God. But here, I said all that to you to say this to you. Now, in this church, we're having day services. And after they came back on that Friday night, we ministered to them. Came back Sunday night, perfectly healed. And then said, I brought my mother. The man said, I brought my mother now. She's in a wheelchair. It was paralyzed. Had two strokes because of high blood pressure. Said, she'll be healed too. Y'all just watch it. We laid hands on. She walked out of the chair and was healed. The next morning after the day service, here came a woman walking down the aisle. I want to ask you something. I can see she's mad. I want to ask you something. Well, I said, ask it. I'll answer if I can. If I can't, I'll just tell you. I don't know. I don't know everything. Well, now, how come God to heal those two Methodist women and he won't heal me? I said, he's done all he's ever going to do about healing you. Oh, you mean he's not going to heal me? I said, I didn't say that. I said, he's already done all he's ever going to do about it. He laid your sicknesses on Jesus. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Yeah, I know all them scriptures are in there, all right, but you know, she said, you can't never tell what might happen. Yeah, you can't. You can tell what might happen if you believe the word. Now, you can just ask anybody, she said. See, we're in the Pentecost church. You can just ask anybody in this church. There's not a better Christian in this church than me. Now, thank God for good Christians, but you can't go around begging on yourself and get God to hear you. Amen. You can just ask anybody. Not a better Christian in this church. Said, beside that, I noticed that them Methodist women wore a little makeup. Didn't seem like the makeup hindered God. He went ahead and healed them anyway. Went ahead and healed them anyway. Now let me, she said, tell you what I think about it. I said, sister, that's where your problem is. You're going by what you think about it instead of what the Bible says about it. I'm still talking about getting your mind renewed with the word. Yeah, but now I've got just as much right to my belief as you do yours, she said. I said, no, you don't. You don't have any rights to your beliefs, and I don't have any rights to my belief. We do have the right to believe the Bible. You know, that's where a lot of folks are missing. They're going by their beliefs and what I believe about it. Get your mind renewed with the word, and you'll go according to what the word of God said about it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, now let me tell you, though, what I think about it. I said, okay, go ahead and tell me. Tried to look serious. Had to look mad. Now she looked sort of religious, right, you know. Now I just believe that when God gets ready in his own good time and his own good will, he's going to heal me. I said, well, he ain't. He don't work like that. I went back 5 years later to that same church. That same woman is in every healing line. Evidently, God hadn't gotten ready yet. I went back 10 years later. 10 years later to the same church over in another, same city over in another church. Same woman, 10 years later, is in every healing line. I guess God took him a long time to get ready, didn't he? He's 10 years gone. He still ain't ready. Oh, dear. It would be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. Let's get our minds renewed with the word. Let's so get our minds renewed, praise God, till no matter what comes up, what crisis of life we might face. And the crisis of life comes to all of us. That the first thing comes to our mind is what the Word said. What does the Word say? 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 Amen? Hallelujah. Well, everybody stand up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just wanted to talk a little bit along that line. We want to get into educating this human spirit. Training your spirit. Your spirit can be educated just like your mind can be educated. Your spirit can be trained just like your body can be trained. Your spirit can be developed just like you can develop in the soul realm or in the physical realm. But we have very little development in the spirit realm because folks haven't been taught. Sometimes they don't even realize what they should realize and know about the spirit man. Now say it out loud. I am a spirit being. I have a soul.
I live in a physical body.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I have been born again.
My spirit
has been born of God.
Jesus said,
that which is born of the flesh is flesh.
But that which is born of the spirit is spirit.
Hallelujah.
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 Now sit back down for just a moment.
Let's talk just a little bit. Not a whole lot, just a little bit about the body. You know, don't have to talk about too much about that. You know about that. If you don't, reach over and pinch yourself. Amen. Amen. Now present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. He said, King James said, it's your reasonable service. Another translation said, your spiritual worship. Too many times, folks are trying to, when it comes to the body, instead of, as Paul said, I keep my body under, I bring it into subjection. You know, that isn't always easy. Amen. Jesus said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. Now, he's not talking literally if you just to run your thumb in behind your eyeball and pull it out. He meant that there are things in the flesh that's going to hurt that you need to pluck out. That's going to hurt just as bad as plucking your eye out. If your right hand offends you, Jesus said, cut it off. Now, he didn't mean to go get you an axe, lay your hand up here, and cut your hand off. No, he meant that there's some things in the flesh that's going to hurt just as bad as you cutting your hand off. But you're going to have to cut it off. You notice you cut it off, he didn't cut it off. Notice you pluck it out, he didn't pluck it out. Now, if you'll pluck it out and cut it off, then he'll come with his healing. Amen. Blessing and help you. I remember one church I pastored. There's a lady now. She didn't come to our, well, she'd come visit the church, but didn't belong, wasn't a member of our church. I'd say she'd come about every 3 weeks, one time on Sunday night. Well, this is Pentecostal church, and we'd close every service out by gathering around the altar, everybody come and pray. And so we'd all got through and praying, and she's still in the altar. I sort of stand at the back of the church and talking to a few folks. I don't guess there's a dozen people left. The building had been full. Everybody's gone. And every now and then she'd cry out, take it away from me, Lord. You know I don't want it. Take it away from me. Just yell. So I just left her alone for a while. I thought, well, look at my watch. It's early. It won't hurt, you know. I mean, you get to yelling real late. I mean, people hear you. They think something's happening. They come see about you. So finally, I went back down there and knelt across the altar in front of her. I said, sister, open your eyes and look at me. She didn't. She just kept shut. I said, I want to tell you something. I have a word for you. I didn't mean it's from the Lord. Yes, it was from the Lord because it's the Bible. I mean by some inspiration of the moment. I've got a word for you. She paid no more attention than I said. She opened her mouth again and said, take it away. And when she hollered that away, just... I mean, she gave me a spit bath. I mean, didn't even furnish a towel. Take it away.
away from me. You know I don't want it. I finally reached across the altar and took her by the shoulders and shook her till her teeth rattled almost. I said, "Sister, shut up. Open your eyes and look at me." So when I shook her like that, she opened her eyes and looked at me. I said, "Now what is it that you don't want, you want him to take?" She said, "That old snuff." Well, I said, "He don't want it. He don't dip snuff. He ain't gonna take it away from me. What would he do with it if he had it?" I told her the scripture said, "Cut it off." Amen. Cut it off. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Well, I couldn't give up good old snuff. I just can't do it. Well, I always believe the Bible told me to do something, I can do it. He said to me, "Keep my body under." Now, what does that mean? Well, your body wants to do things that's not right. No matter what it is. I just use that as an illustration. Whatever it is. Somebody said, "You think it's wrong to dip snuff?" I don't know. I never did dip it. But it's nasty, I know that. No Christian ought to be bound up with any kind of a bad habit. Amen. Amen. I said, "Amen.
Amen."
It's up to me. It's up to me to keep my body. I'm the keeper of this house. The Holy Ghost will help me. You remember in that third chapter of the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, because they were riding him, and he said to them, "Know you not your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost?" And he said, "Your body is a member of Christ. Shall I take the members of Christ and join them to a harlot?" He that's joined to a harlot, he said, is one flesh. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now notice what he said. "Wherefore, glorify God." Now that's up to you to glorify God. "Wherefore, glorify God." Use the understood subject. "You glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are the Lord's." I don't believe you're glorifying God in your body when you're bound with habits. Amen? I said, "Amen."
Amen.
Now, folks, you know, you can go to preaching about tobacco or liquor or dope or drugs, and amen, folks will jump and shout, but no Christian should be bound by the habit of worry.
Amen.
Now you get off on that and watch them get quiet. That's a bad habit too, and a wrong habit too. Amen. You get to talking about that habit and they'll get quiet in a hurry. You talk about tobacco habit and they'll jump the benches, some folks. Amen. Well, worry will kill you, it's worse than tobacco. I mean, tobacco will just half kill you, and you'll stink while you're dying. But worry will kill you. Amen. It's up to me. It's up to me. It's up to me to take care of this temple. Temple of God. Temple of my own spirit. Are you out there?
Yes.
Glorify God. Stand up again now. I told you I wasn't going to be for a minute or two. Glorify God. Say it out loud. Glorify God. The Bible says, "In your spirit and in your body, which are the Lord's." One church I pastored, I went over to a neighbor town on some business, walking down the street. Man, a member of the Full Gospel Church in that town, suddenly looked up and saw it was me. I noticed he had a cigarette in his mouth. He took it out, held it behind him, backed over against the curb, dropped it in the gutter. I never said a word to him. We talked about, you know, like you do, renew acquaintance, talk about the weather or something. Finally, he said, I never said a word. See, he just felt condemned himself. I never said a word to him. He said, "Now, if you can show me it's in the Bible where it said, 'Thou shalt not smoke, thou shalt not use tobacco,'" he said, "I'll quit." Well, I said, "The Bible didn't say, 'Thou shalt not eat strychnine,' but I don't eat it." Don't have to say, "Thou shalt not." Amen. Just know something. Now I said, "Ben, as you brought up the subject," I said, "I didn't. You did. May I say something?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You know what the Bible said?" I said, "I believe you're sincere and honest." "Yeah," he said, "I was in the altar last night down at Full Gulf Church. I told the Lord, 'If you want me to quit it, I'll do it.'" Said he never said anything to me. If he had told me, I'd have quit it. I said, "I want to ask you this. You know your Bible?" "Yeah." You know, the Bible said, whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. Yeah. I said, next time you light it, one, before you light it, put it in your mouth and get your lighter ready. Say, now, Lord, I'm doing this for your glory. Yeah, I'll do it. About a month later, I was over there. I happened to run into him on the street again. I noticed he looked different. Had a smile. Then, you know what? I said, what? He said, I've never smoked another cigarette. He said, I tried it. I put one in my mouth. Said, Lord, I'm going to smoke this for your glory. He said, I pulled out, throwed the thing away, and never spoke another. Whatever you do, turn and look at your neighbor and say, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. Glorify God in your body as well as your spirit. Hallelujah. Now, I'll tell you the real truth about it. You ever been up in the Northwest, see some of those giant trees, those redwood trees, and some of those giant trees they cut out and make lumber out of? I was holding a meeting years ago up there, you know, in Crescent City, about the last town in Northern California before you get over into Oregon. Some folks in the church in the lumber business. I went out with the pastor and the man that owned all this, and they were going to cut down the tree. And it's clearing out all this underbrush. And smaller trees, I mean trees down in our part of the country, we'd think it's big. They just cut them down and moved them out of the way. No, we want to make a path to lay this. A giant tree. And I watched them. See, it's getting ready. I watched them. They called it felling the tree. And it fell just exactly where they'd cut out all this underbrush and all these trees, you know. And then this man owned the company said, you know how much lumber's in that one tree? I said, no. Enough to build five houses of so many square feet, you know, just smaller houses. That one tree. But the thought I wanted to get out was, before they fell the tree, the big one, they cut all this underbrush out. They cut all of these smaller trees out and laid just a little pathway like, you know, for them to lay that down in. Well, that's all I've been doing tonight, just cutting out the underbrush. I mean, we're going to cut down the tree tomorrow. Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You're dismissed. God bless you.